97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome to the Art of Potential Show. This is Kristen Heemstra. We have a fantastic show in store for you today. We are talking with Dave Katz. He is the Technical Services Global Labs Director at Cisco Systems. And what makes him so interesting, besides all the stuff he does there, is that as a person, he's very interested in helping other people with their careers. And so that's what we are going to be talking about today. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you, Kristen.
We are so glad to have you here. And I want to know a little bit about you and your history. So can you give us just, you know, a little bit about how you ended up on the path that you're on right now?
Well, sure. I mean, it's been a long, wonderful journey. Graduated from college in 1982 as a COBOL programmer.
COBOL, don't hear that a whole lot anymore.
Right. As a matter of fact, I was part of the year 2K problem
okay.
out there. And worked for a number of companies, a defense contractor and a bank and savings and loan and IBM as well before I came to Cisco. And really, I would say that my career has been, well, at Cisco, we talk about market adjacencies. What we mean by that is, okay, we're selling this here now. And, oh, look, right next door to it is something that is needed by our customer, but we're not selling it. But we're so close to it, we could sell that.
Oh, interesting.
So then we move into a market adjacency. And I would say the same applies to my career. Is I'm doing COBOL programming, but you know what? Right next door is systems requirement gathering and user work. So
right.
I moved into that. And then, oh, right next door is system programming. So I moved into that. And, oh, right next door to that is network programming. And so looking around, making friends, making acquaintances, figuring out what's needed. And what is that guy's headache over there?
Yeah.
And how can I take that headache away from him or her? And establishing a reputation in one place so that people next door see that reputation and want you to go over and do something great for them.
Well, and that's a great way we should all be listening to ourselves and following our intuition about how to create our own careers. It sounds like there's some natural interest that you're following as you go through these different doors. I love the door metaphor, by the way.
Yeah, well, I have always wanted to be part of the mythic band of brothers or band of sisters team. I wanted to go just intuitively, innately, I wanted to go build something glorious, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a part of something bigger than just me. Right. And I wanted to be a part of a team where I can be a specialist. I can go with my strengths and I can be over here and then people cover my back for the things I'm not so good at with their strengths. Right. And so I tend to look for situations like that. And I start with, well, what's needed? You know, and it's just a matter of
the first question you ask yourself, what's needed?
Right.
Yep.
Right, and just paying attention and being inquisitive and asking, because everybody likes to talk about their own situation.
Yep.
So what's it like over there? What's a day in the life like over there? And what are the things keeping you up at night? And, you know, you guys hiring, how's business? You know, just being inquisitive, going out to coffee, going out to lunch, things like that. Boy, that's put a lot of bread on my table.
I bet it has. And what a great way to do it, because it's coming from a place of natural interest to you. You don't seem to be approaching this as what's in it for me as much as really trying to figure out how you can help them.
That's right. Yeah, you've got to get past yourself.
Yeah.
Ironically. In order to serve yourself, you've got to get past yourself.
That's something we should all remember. Get past yourself to serve yourself. You've got to quote that. And I mean, that's a great trademarkable thing. All right. So you got past yourself and you've been able to move into Cisco. Can you, in a nutshell, tell me exactly what Cisco does?
Oh, Cisco sells routers and switches and compute equipment. Basically, we are gunning to be the biggest and best IT and communications company in the world.
And wonderful.
Traditionally, we've been the plumbing of the internet.
Right. And that's a great way to kind of describe it. Like, you make things happen, you make things flow. I like that.
That's right.
So at Cisco, you are known internally as somebody who helps people with their careers and talks with people about their careers. Tell me how that came to be.
Well, I've always felt like once I get to a place, I can, you know, I'm a beggar helping other beggars know where there's food, right?
Okay.
You know, and I've you get to a certain place and you realize that you have been through, you know where the landmines are and stuff, and you want to help others.
Avoid the landmines, avoid
right.
the pitfalls,
right.
stay
get
on
back.
Some path.
Well, and in some ways it just an extension of that, find where you can give value,
mm-hmm.
right? So I
right.
know a little something about this. And so, for instance, this past year we had RTP Career Day in Cisco.
In Cisco, within the building.
That's right. It was for internal Cisco folks only, and it was really the logo there was Jumpstart Your Career, right?
And so these are already for people working in Cisco.
This particular event,
yeah.
yes.
So they're jumpstarting their career. Even though they have a career, they're just infusing it with new energy.
Well, right. It's so easy to just get or feel kind of stuck.
Yes.
You know, and you've been doing something for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and you feel like, well, nobody would want me to do something different because I'd have to learn
right.
all this stuff. And they don't even know what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what other team. We have 5,000 plus people on this campus, and
right.
a lot of people don't know what
oh,
the
gosh.
Other teams are.
No, there's right? and there's no way they can. You can't keep track of 5,000 other people.
So, you know, we had a book booth where there were a lot of career-related books and executive recommendations on which are the best. And by the way, the number one thing I would recommend for anybody interested in expanding their career is go take a couple of $100 to Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And buy yourself, or Amazon, and just
right.
buy yourself some really interesting books. It doesn't even have to be career-related, but expand your skills, expand your knowledge, and go for things that are interesting to you, but especially career-related.
That is great advice. And it's also a great philosophy. And I'll just tell you a little vignette. Somebody who I know is working for a very large corporation, highly talented, very motivated, but to your point, stuck, but very interested also in branching out into other branches. And that has really been not so accepted within the culture of that organization. It's like, no, we don't want to lose you in this position. We want you to stay where you are. And this person, you know, may or may not leave the organization because their personal side is not getting fulfilled. Yes, they can do the job and do it well, but the organization mm-hmm. isn't supporting that kind of growth. So I just applaud the philosophy of Cisco and of you of bringing this together of, you know, you want people to be, you want them to come to work happy. It changes the dynamic in the environment.
Oh, yeah.
So completely.
Having engaged employees is the key, right? And I've been with Cisco 18 years now, and I love it. It's a wonderful company, would recommend it to anybody. But apart from that, we need to make sure that our folks are looking forward to Monday mornings as
yeah,
much as possible.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily that they're easy,
right?
But that they're excited.
Yeah, and they don't dread them. I read once that Monday morning was the most common time of a heart attack.
Right.
See, a culture you're trying to avoid. Like that. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about that. You are listening to the Art of Potential show with Kristen Heemstra. I'm talking with Dave Katz from Cisco Systems. When you have a moment, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Hey If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelboro.com.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to The Art of Potential show. We are having a fascinating discussion with Dave Katz. He's from Cisco Systems, and we were just talking about, rather than leading with your passion, to lead with your talents and your gifts and your strengths. So, Dave, how did you end up coming up with this philosophy? Because it does change the whole paradigm.
Well, I read a lot.
Any particular book that was really influential for you?
So there's a book called So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport. Right. And when I read this book, it really changed my approach to careers and career coaching. And Be So Good They Can't Ignore You actually is a quote from Steve Martin, the comedian.
Yeah.
Who, when he was first getting into comedy, he saw that there were so many nightclub stand-ups that just kind of did the same thing, and it was, you know, set up punchline. And he said, well, what if I did something a little different, right? And what if I became so good that they couldn't ignore me doing something a little bit different? And so what he would do is he would set up for a climax and then never relieve the tension, and it would become funny. And he did a lot of bits like that, mm-hmm. and he was completely different. And the other thing he did is he honed that for 10 years before he made it big.
Oh, wow.
Right? People don't know that. They think he was just – but he had been doing stand-up for 10 years this different way, and he got very good. And he wasn't that good at the beginning. And this whole idea that Cal Newport puts forth in this book, So Good They Can't Ignore You, is it's about skills. It's about the old-fashioned approach of – taking your natural gifts, working on them, figuring out what's needed out there, and honing your skills to the point where they cannot ignore you. You are just great at what you do. You have something to offer. Then when you go into an interview or you're talking to somebody about a potential job, you have confidence. You have natural confidence because, of course I can do that. I can do that in my sleep.
Right.
I've been doing that for 10 years.
Right.
Or 5 years or 3 years or whatever. And, you know, they talk about there's studies out there that say they studied violinists.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what's the difference between kind of the teachers and the virtuosos?
Yes.
Right? Professional violinists.
Right.
And they found that the violinists that had played or practiced 10,000 hours between when they started, say, age 5 until now, were the ones that really made it to the top of their game. And the ones that ended up being maybe teachers or the lower end of that, maybe 4,000 hours.
Not even half what the virtuosos were doing.
Right, right.
Wow.
And to me, this is good news for anybody out there because, number one, anybody can do this.
Right.
Anybody can just go get good at stuff. Number two, in today's fast-changing world, the playing field gets leveled quite often because of new technology or, you know, like social media, for instance.
Right.
Nobody knew anything about social media 5 years ago.
No, they
right?
didn't.
10 years
right,
ago.
Right.
Now we have experts. Well,
right.
The experts only have 3 years experience.
Right. And who knows how long it will be around and not change its form completely.
Exactly.
It's like cobalt.
Exactly. Exactly. So I really liked that approach. So instead of... You know, an example he gives in the book is he said there was this advertising person, this lady who was in advertising, and she had a fine job in advertising, and then she decided to follow her passion, which was yoga. She loved yoga. And so she quit her job, and she took a 2-month class on teaching yoga, and she opened a yoga shop, right?
Right.
And it says that basically a year later, short end of the story is a year later, she was on food stamps.
Okay.
You know, the business failed. What did she know about those clients, their needs, running a small business, rent, finance, marketing?
All that,
maybe
right.
not much.
Right.
And the point is, if you are going to do something like that, keep your job.
Keep your day job.
Right?
Right.
Keep your day job and go read, go talk to people who are doing it. Find out what it takes. Find out what it's like. Find out if you'll like it. Find out if you have something new or great to offer. Maybe you need to learn something, right?
And be open to learning it. Don't just feel like you were born with it.
That's right. That's right. And again, reading books. I, you know, you can go and you can get an MBA and it'll take you 18 months and $30,000. Yep. You can do that. You know, God bless you if you do. But you could also go get a couple of books and read them in a few hours and learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my point is self-education. Don't downplay that. That's a big deal.
That is a great message. And I'll tell you, I've been doing a series of shows just on how to start a business. And we've had some wonderful, there's Startup Chapel Hill. We're having someone come in from the Research Triangle area to talk about starting a business. And your points are so on target of, you know, educate yourself about what you're getting into. Look for your blind spots. Be open to having blind spots. Don't have, you know, this ego in place where, oh, no, you know, I'm not blind to anything. I figured it all out. And I think whether you're inside Cisco or a large company or a small company, that self-education can't be overstated.
That's right. You know, there's problems with leading with your passion. First of all, a lot of people don't know what their passions are, especially students.
Yes.
Right? You know, they may have passions like skiing or art or some things that are not financially viable, right? But once you arrive, you may hate it if you follow your passion. How do you know you're going to like teaching yoga until you actually teach yoga?
Very good point.
Right? So a lot of times, you know, you can keep your day job and just stick your foot in the water and just try some things. Volunteer. Play around with it. Take small bets. Small bets. That was a great...
I like that. Small bets.
Yeah. It's a great concept that came out of the book. You don't have to bet the farm.
Right.
Right? You can try some things. You can get involved. You can talk to some people. You can shadow. You know, if you're at a big corporation, one of the great things you can do at a corporation is do a rotation, a temporary begin date, end date rotation with another team. And then you come back and you can decide, well, what'd you think of it?
That's a nice built-in system for a corporation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So... anyway, and the alternative to leading with your passion is to lead with your skills. And if you think of the goal here as mastery, you want to master something. And you want to master something that's very valuable and different and new and needed, right?
Okay, so repeat those again. Valuable, new, and needed.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And the idea here is once you master something, the passion follows. If you're driving home from work and you've done something great today because you are a master at it and you've created this wonderful value, you'll probably get real passionate about it. You know, I put up a picture when I'm giving this talk. I put up a picture of a skier and they're coming down this mountain, the Black Mogul Mountain, and
yep.
I mean just flying in the air, you know, and it's powder, and it's beautiful.
It's a commercial happening, right?
And the question is, if you could do this, if you could ski this helicopter mountain, do you think you'd be passionate about skiing?
I think you would.
Right?
Right.
Just, you know, or if you could deliver some brilliant business solution, you know, you're probably going to like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're probably going to go, wow. And not only does passion follow from mastery, but so does direction and mission and control and money.
We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to enjoy more of this absolutely fascinating conversation. You're listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra, and I'm having an absolutely fascinating conversation with Dave Katz. Dave is the Technical Services Global Labs Director of Cisco Systems, but what he's talking about with us today is about how to create your career. And Dave, you were just talking about leading with your strengths, your gifts, those things that flow naturally from you, and you gave a great resource, the Strength Finders book. What are some other ways that people can identify their strengths?
Well, definitely you start with your natural gifts. The way I would put this is don't try to turn a 3 into a 6. Turn a 7 into a 10.
Okay, so right? Things you're already strong in.
Yeah, you know, and your clues can be things you've just naturally moved toward. You know, I was thinking of this the other day. If you want to know what somebody loves, take them to a bookstore and just watch where they go, right? Where do they go? What are they looking at, right? Take yourself to a bookstore and watch where you naturally go, right?
Yep.
I go to the career section because I love careers. I'm very passionate about it. Some people will go to the money section or the software section or the fiction,
right?
You know, everybody's different. So that's a good start, and Strength Finders is a good place. Personality tests are always very good too, whether you do Myers-Briggs or they have the four colors, things like that.
There's also the strong interest inventory, which is a big one that's used.
Absolutely.
Which is more about interest, though, than strengths. Just want to say that.
Right. But they're closely related. I would say a good approach to one's career is to have a craftsman's mindset.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, so what is that? What does it mean to be a craftsman?
Well, and it could be craftswoman, too, of course.
Thank you.
it's not about my job or my career.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's about my craft or my specialty or my skills or my focus, where you look at yourself as a specialist. You come in and you can do something that other people can't, and part of it is your natural gifts, but part of it also is your experience. Nobody else has focused on what you have focused on for however long you've been in your career and your whole life, right? And you bring that. And when you go into an interview, you bring that in, and you also are interviewing the interviewer to make sure that your craft and your skill is needed there, because you do not want to go into a job where they're expecting one thing and you can deliver it. You can't deliver that. You can only deliver another. So,
and that's okay. I just want to bring that out, because I think sometimes, especially when you're unemployed and you have those feelings of anxiety and all kinds of things that come with being unemployed, you feel like you have to try to fit into the mold of what the employer wants. But it's okay to do you and to be you, and even to say to an employer, this is a terrific job. I'm just not sure it's a terrific job for me. And I thought it was when I looked at it, but now as you're talking more about it, that's, you're not going to lose respect when you do something like that. You'll lose respect when you come in and can't do or won't do what they're asking of you.
Right. The other thing a craftsman does is a craftsman invests rather than gambles. Okay. And what I mean by that is a gambler will say, I want it now. I want it now, and so I'm just going to go after it now, right? Whereas an investor will say, I'm willing to take the time to do this right.
And research.
Research, exactly. A gambler is a risk seeker, whereas an investor is kind of risk averse. I'm keeping my day job, and I'm just going to try some things here. I'm going to talk to some people, right? I'm going to learn what I need to learn. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that's a great book, right, where the guy wanted to own a business. So before he did that, he got a job in marketing. Then he got a job in finance. Then he got a job in manufacturing. Then he did some management. So at the point where he became an entrepreneur, he had done all these other things. He knew all aspects of the business, right? He prepared himself. A gambler doesn't want to give of himself. He just wants to, it's all about what he can get.
It's the holding the cards close. I'm not going to let you see my hand kind of Yeah. What can I get? Not how can I help you? Not how can we collaborate?
That's right.
It's about me and how much did I win?
You bet. Whereas an investor will say, I know this is going to require my energy and my time and my focus, and I'm willing. Right? I'm ready. I'm going.
Yep.
I'm in this.
Yep.
This is going to be a battle, and I'm in it. Let's
yep.
go.
Yep.
Right? I want to learn something new. With gambling, it doesn't improve your skills. With investing, it does. Gambling, you're on your own. With investing, you have a support group. You have partners. You take advice. You listen.
You listen.
Right? You don't do it. You don't go it on your own. Right? The goal of a gambler is to win, to get something for myself. It's win-lose.
Right.
Right?
I gotcha. Win. Yes. For me to win, you have to lose.
That's right. You
yes.
know, it's the...
And I'm getting yours.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right. With investing, the goal is to become good and deliver value to others. Gambling, no commitment required. Investing, you must commit. Gambling, it's luck. Investing, it's skills plus, I'm sorry, strengths plus practices equals skill. Right? Practice, practice, practice. Right?
And I also think of investors doing so much research before they, you know, and it's, you've said this in so many different ways, but you're just researching like crazy before you're putting your cash, your capital, your career capital, all that out on the plate.
Absolutely. The last thing I'll say about it is with a gambler, it's one and done, right? I want to put everything down on red
mm-hmm.
and walk away, right? And with that big payday. With investing, it's get up after you fall. You keep yourself in the game. And just that one phrase, keep
yeah.
yourself in the game. So important. Don't quit. Don't give up. The only way you lose is to quit.
Yes. And there are some things that are worth losing in your life, like bad habits, but your career path is not one worth losing.
Well, that's right. I mean, you can always change direction. You learn something new, you change
right.
direction. You find a market adjacency. You know, there was, I don't know where I read this, but there was a survey of business owners. And the question at hand was, you've had a business for a while now. Are you still selling what you initially expected to sell? And 90% of them weren't.
Right.
They start out going, well, I'm going to sell this. And then they talk to customers, and the customers don't necessarily need that. They
right.
need something different. The businesses that succeed move.
They would
adjust.
Have to. And I just want to kind of piggyback on that, because one thing I hear a lot of from people who are looking for work is, I don't want to have to sell myself. And there's this feeling that sales is somehow a dirty word, or that you're going to be trying to push something onto people that they don't want. And most of the salespeople I know and most of the job seekers I know are people who are excited about being able to present a client with tremendous value. And so one of the things about sales is, to your point, what does the client need? Are you a good match?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for job seekers anyway, I say look at it more as an education thing. You are educating them about what you have to offer. They don't have to take it. You don't have to buy anything. But at least show them all the things that you can do, because they need something. Somebody's going to come in and fill that position, or, you know, fill that niche if it's not you. And you're using that kind of as a great business. I mean, that's what good businesses do.
Well, consider this. Every hiring manager has a big headache.
Right.
You wouldn't be in the room if they didn't.
Right.
They wouldn't be interviewing you, right? They will crawl over broken glass on their knees to get rid of this headache.
Right.
So it's not a matter of selling yourself. It's a matter of coming in and saving the day.
Yes. Right.
By being able to take that headache away from them. They have a gap they need to fill. You know, they got some goals they can't meet without you.
Right. And your skills and your talents and your gifts and what you're bringing to the table. So
that's right.
So, okay. So what I want to do, and we're going to talk about this in the next segment, because we're going to have to get off the air here in a minute. But one of the things I want to talk about coming up is, you have done a lot of career coaching privately, and I want to go over some of the what job seekers are doing well and what they're not doing well, so we can give some, you know, practical tips on how people can take this into the work world and move forward. So that's what we're going to be focusing on next. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to The Art of Potential Show. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Dave Katz. Dave is the Technical Services Global Labs Director at Cisco Systems. And before he did this, Dave, you owned a company called Career Resolution. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. It was a career coaching, help you help yourself kind of company. And kind of just doing what I'm doing here, which is talking to people and working them through how to get out of their own way and, you know, get to a place where they're really feeling valued in the workplace.
And I will say, having worked with unemployed people, a lot of folks, unfortunately, though I understand where this comes from, their personal value is tied in with their professional value. And you see that a lot. And I know you saw it when working with clients. And you see people kind of dealing with not feeling good about themselves if they can't figure out how the market's going to value them. So when you were working with clients, what were some of the things that you would advise for them to get hired?
Well, first of all, don't settle for a bad career. Did you ever see the movie Thelma and Louise?
Yes.
Right? Kind of a break the mold, wild outlaw right. buddy movie, but right. the buddies were women.
Yep.
Right? And one of the characters, I think, played by Susan Sarandon, she's a woman who had a tough life and she was kind of jaded. And whenever her friend would talk to her about her idiot, abusive husband or whatever, she would say, well, you get what you settle for.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that line, you get what you settle for. So the first thing I would say is don't settle. You know, dream big and, you know, life is short. You know,
and it's shorter as you get older, I'm just saying.
Right. So I would suggest to clients, especially those who don't have a job now,
yeah.
is be willing to restart at the bottom. One of the things I say, because, you know, taking a pay cut from where you were before or starting in a new industry where you might not have as much experience, but being willing to go in and be the student and mm-hmm. learn or fill a gap that's needed, you know, at a lower level will open all sorts of doors for you. And you will be amazed at how quickly you can rise back to where you were before or higher.
Right. And that's scary. That is scary because starting at the bottom often means a pay cut.
Yes, it does.
Of course, being unemployed means no money coming in. So, you know, there's the rub.
That's right. Exactly. And anything to stay employed or to get, you know, you can get a job while you're looking for another job.
Right.
Right. And the other thing I would say is if you are looking for a job and you're unemployed, then that is your job.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, 40 hours a week, whatever,
yes.
with a plan, with goals.
Yeah. Tangible goals.
That's right. That's right. Measurable, tangible goals. Anything you're doing professionally. Right. You get up in the morning, you get dressed in your professional.
Showered.
Yeah. Yep. Everything. Right. And you turn off the TV and you leave. You go wherever you need to go. You're making your calls.
Yes.
You're on it. You're executing a plan.
Right.
And it has to be like that. It's not easy. That's also why you need a support group.
And that's a very good point. It's very anxiety provoking. And you've got several different waves of anxiety coming. One, there's just the undercurrent of anxiety of being unemployed, of not knowing where your next paycheck is coming from. And that's kind of at the safety level, the very bottom level of human basic needs. So that's not settled. And then you're about to go in and pitch yourself to people you've never met before. And that's anxiety provoking no matter how much money you have. So you've got, you know, several different waves coming through.
That's right. I like the idea of expecting the best. I like the idea of getting up every day and saying, I expect great things today. And, you know, taking action based on that expectation. You know, my wife and I wanted to have kids. So we put pictures of kids up around our house. It was an expectation. It was going to happen.
Right.
You know, we wanted a house, so we put pictures of that house up. I wanted to own a rental property. I went out and I bought a for rent sign. And I put it in my garage,
yeah.
right? if you want a particular job or if you want to be a lawyer, then go get pictures of courtrooms and put them up. Get, you know, just you're going there.
It's a great visual.
Absolutely. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. Arnold Schwarzenegger said that when he was 14 years old and skinny, he pictured himself having the best body in the world, and he envisioned it, and then he simply did. He said, nothing's going to stop this from happening. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen, and then he just grew into that vision in a big way, of course.
A little help here and there, but yeah.
Well, so I would say that's really important. And then I would say you have to think about business value and take your mind off yourself and think about business value and what is needed, and talk to people and have conversations that aren't all about, can you get me a job?
Right.
Right? You have a conversation about, hey, tell me about your situation. What's going on there?
That is just beautiful. Yes.
I would say stay professional, have a bias toward action, right? Don't get passive. You know, if you're not sure what to do, try something, you know, go for it.
Pick up the phone,
make a call. This is not easy, but I'll tell you, everybody loves to talk about themselves. Most people will respond positively to, can I buy you coffee?
Right.
Or let's catch up. Or do you have 15 minutes to spare?
Right.
If you believe in a higher power, invite that higher power into your career.
Absolutely.
I do.
Absolutely.
Come on in. Yeah. I can't do this myself. I need your help, please. Right?
It gives direction. It gives stability. And often it gives wisdom that you would not have had otherwise.
That's right. So that's... basically, and keep yourself in the game.
Yes.
My wife wanted to make sure that I said that today. So.
Well, she's a wise woman. I think that is really key, because what I do see is people who take themselves out of the game and even do it passively. They do it by staying online, by researching things to death without actually ever making a human contact. And it is humans that hire other humans. And I do think that's an important thing to keep in mind.
Every good position that I've gotten since 1982, I've gotten through an acquaintance or a friend or an associate who knew me, you know, and said, hey, Dave, I know you were doing that stuff over there. Could you come do something similar like that over here? I got this headache.
Right. I got this headache.
Right. And so you're going to find a lot of great opportunities through other people. Use those. And let it be two-way, right?
Absolutely.
I want to always deliver something good to my friends.
Yes.
Right? In my situation now, whenever I go and talk to somebody, I make sure that I let them know if there's anything I can do for you, right? This is not a one-way street.
And you mean it.
I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You mean it. And it's not just, you know, empty words.
That's right. You know, sometimes you just... you're in a situation where, you know, your department is changing or whatever, and you're down on your luck or whatever, and you need a hand. And so somebody helps you.
Yes.
And then now you're in a situation where you can help somebody else who's down on their luck.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
It's karma. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that you have been just a joy to speak with, and I really appreciate you coming in and giving us advice. So before we wrap up, let me ask you this, because there are a lot of new graduates out there. What kind of advice do you have for them?
Well, it's not about age.
Okay.
It's about business value or value to people.
And that's good, too, for the older folks who are out there looking, because there are a lot of people who feel like they're being discriminated against because of ageism. Dave, thank you so much for joining us. You have just listened to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.